building a company from nothing is freaking hard. Us entrepreneurs are expected to deal with unimaginable challenges and somehow keep a cool head through it all. This is The Art of Entrepreneurship, and I'm your host, Jackie Hermes. I grew my company, Excelity, from 0 to 7 figures with no partners and no funding. The Art of Entrepreneurship is a show where we cut through the BS and dig into what it actually takes to start and grow a company. If you give me your time, I promise it won't be wasted. Now let's get to work.
Hello and welcome back to The Art of Entrepreneurship. Today's topic, the buyer's journey is not linear. This is something I've been talking about with clients a lot. I've been thinking about, been reading about. So I suppose it's time to talk to you all about it too. I think there are a lot of companies out there, a lot of marketers, definitely a lot of salespeople that are still trying to trap our buyers into this step by step by step by step linear sales journey that we all think that they are on. And that is just not how people buy anymore. I'm not totally convinced that that's ever really exactly how people bought, but I digress. I'm not going to go backwards. I want to talk to you today about how to handle this moving forward. And frankly, I mean, with the internet and with the amount of content that's available, everything has changed, right? Here are some quick facts that I dug up in preparation for today's episode. One is the good old marketing rule of seven, which says that buyers need to see your brand at least 7 times before coming aware. Now, there are tons of facts out there that say 7 times, 23 times, who knows what the actual number is. The rule of seven has been around for a long time. And remember that being aware of a brand doesn't mean that the buyer is actually taking any kind of action. It definitely doesn't mean that they're buying from you at that time. I've also read varying figures, 60%+ of customers are more willing to buy from familiar brands, which makes sense. When you are in a store or when you're online, if you're buying anything at all, of course you want to buy from a brand that you're familiar with, unless it's a pure pricing sale, right? So that makes awareness all the more important in this conversation. The amount of available content, like I just mentioned, on the internet has absolutely skyrocketed over the past decade. I remember when I was a kid, it was so much harder to get information on products and services. We actually had a TV, a big old tube TV that we used as a computer in our basement that I would like log into DOS and type in my commands to try to get to my games when I was a little kid. Like my parents purchased a lot more based on word of mouth and they bought a lot more from salespeople because that is what was available to them and their parents. I mean, even more so. Today, buyers have a lot more information at their fingertips and buyers are doing more than 70% of their buying research online before ever deciding to reach out to a salesperson, especially in a B2B environment. The amount of available information, frankly, there is an overload of information. It has made the relationship between buyers and companies really complex and it's very different than it ever was. Buyers have an opportunity to interact with companies in tons of different ways throughout their entire day. It's not like buyers are just at work and they're working. They're not interacting with companies or brands at all. Now, especially with so many of us working on the internet, we follow companies that we like on social media. We see their ads on random websites. We get their emails. We read their content. So marketers are tasked with delivering the right message in the right channel at the right time. All of it needs to be at the appropriate level of brand awareness or education or level in their buying journey. It needs to be branded well across all channels. No big deal. One of our clients the other day, I was on the phone with him and he said, "Man, I don't know how you do what you do," in his Southern accent. And I was like, "You know, sometimes I don't know either." And I was being very honest. It is not an easy job, right? Everything I just said and doing that in a seamless way at the right time and the right channel can be difficult. We as marketers have to stop looking at marketing as a funnel. We are not making them aware and then retargeting the heck out of them until they get into a demo and then nurturing them while sales does their thing and closes a deal. Yes, if the world were super simplistic and perfect, that would be a great way to market. It would be really easy for us, and there would be a formula that's proven and easy. But that is just one piece of the puzzle that we have to put together. It's our job as marketers to have a mix of foundational content available online at all times, as well as campaigns that serve specific purposes running alongside that foundational content. When I talk about foundational content, I mean things like education. So of course you have to have educational content available on your website as a baseline. And a lot of companies are somehow still missing this boat. If you're wondering how to approach educational content, go back to my podcast with Marcus Sheridan. I do not remember which one it was, and it was quite some time ago, but his book, They Ask, You Answer, stands the test of time. I will put it in the show notes. He talks about the big five that companies should be educating on, and here they are. One, talking about cost and pricing, what makes those factors go up and down. Two, problems. So being open about the problems, the shortcomings, and the drawbacks of the industry and of what you sell. Three is comparisons. So comparing products and services so the buyers can understand the differences, and trying your darndest to be as unbiased as possible, which I know is hard, but you want to be a source of education, right? You don't want to just be a super biased source pushing your own product or service. Best of, so putting together best of lists that talk about what's best in class, best practices, etc. And then reviews. So reviews from experts, past customers, the social proof part. The next kind of content that you need is education about your product or service. Who is it for? Why do they use it? What are the benefits? What are the important features? Then you have to layer on self-service tools. So many companies are not doing this. So many companies are afraid still of giving away the secret sauce. And this is a sales killer. Give your buyers things like your ROI calculator, your pricing calculator, publish your pricing. Give an on-demand demo. It doesn't really matter if you put a demo on your website and somehow it gets into the hands of your competitors. Your competitors are probably doing sneaky things and already have your demo in their hands anyway. The number of companies that I meet that have their sales battle cards and they include screenshots and demos of their competitors is wild. So you might as well put it out there. And if you do a free trial, that's a huge plus too. The next thing is proof. So this is things where testimonials, case studies, videos, those come in handy. Those are all foundational things that you have to have available. That's a big task for companies. And that is all kind of required for you to have available so that you can meet buyers where they are and when they are ready to look for this stuff. On the Excelity website that we just relaunched, we have a lot of this stuff if you go poke around. So we explain what buyers need to know about our services. We have pricing, we have social proof, and we're working on getting our blog back up and running right now, which is extremely deep. There's tons of content and information. We talk about the big five, tons of different topics. So stay tuned, that it's relaunching soon. And now you have to remember that you need to take all of this content and you have to meet your audience where they are. You can't rely on them using just the right keyword and stumbling upon your website. So you need to do things like go and build a solid social presence that isn't just you saying, we're so awesome, come look at our website. It needs to be educational and fun and exciting. Running ads, placing op-eds, going and getting speaking engagements, going and networking at conferences. There are tons of ways to get in front of your buyers, and it all depends where your buyers are spending time, what works the best. You have to be putting out all of this content and or getting yourself out there and then analyzing what is working for you. Remember, as you market, that your goal is not to trap your buyers into a process where you show them your logo 7 times, then they suddenly know who you are. Then you go and educate them 5 times with different blogs. Then you serve them demo ads until you're blue in the face. And then boom, they're in the sales process. I feel like this is how so many people think it works. And this is how the C-suite of a lot of companies want marketing to be judged. And this isn't how it works. Your buyer is more likely to see a random social post that they like and like it. And then some time goes by and they might see another random social post, or they see an ad, or they get retargeted. And then they someday opt into your email list. And then they open one out of every few emails, when a subject line hits. Then they'll eventually click through to your website. And then your website sits open on their browser in one of their bajillion tabs that they intend to look at, but they never do. Don't tell me you don't do that, because I know you do it. You all do it, because I do it too. Then they see another social post or an email. Then they eventually go back to your website and they poke around, and so on and so forth, until they're finally ready to either reach out to you or to buy. It's a very, very fluid process that includes tons and tons of touch points. You can't force a buyer into your process, and you can't force them to buy. Studies show that only 5% of your potential buyers are in market to buy at any given time. So you have to be ready with the content that they want to see when they are ready to see it. All right, that is the topic for today. I hope that you learned something, or it makes you rethink a little bit of your process, how you're thinking about your marketing program, or if you're not a marketer, how you are evaluating the success of your marketing program, because this is key. Remember that marketing is one of the business functions with the highest level of turnover. CMOs have the highest level of turnover of any C-suite executive. And that is because they are often set up for failure. They're judged on the wrong things. And it is very difficult to be a CMO and be successful. Send this podcast to someone that needs to hear it, to someone that you want to work with to set your marketing team up for success, or save it for later so that you can refer back to it. And please share it on social. You know that we are growing this podcast really solely by shares, and it's going super well. I appreciate all of you so much for being here and for listening. All right, that's it for today, and I will talk to you next time.